Life and Death of the American Worker. The Immigrants Taking on America's Largest Meatpacking Company. By Alice Driver. Narrated by Lori Felipe Barkin. For Plácido Arrué, Raúl Camacho, Salvador Zamorano, Cami Nothancom, Alonso Rosa, Manuel Mandujano, Jesús Lobato Molina, Martín Barroso, Martín Arenas, Vien Song Feng Feng Di, and all the meatpacking workers who died during the pandemic. Author's note on moral beauty. Tyson Foods is the largest meat producer in the United States and is headquartered in my home state. I grew up in the 1980s in rural Arkansas, the center of the meatpacking industry in America. The Ozark Mountains are home to a constellation of economically depressed towns like Oark, where I was born. My neighbors grew their own food and tried to make ends meet working odd jobs. Some, like my parents, raised and butchered chickens at home. After my dad and uncle, who lived across the dirt road, chopped off the chickens' heads, the birds would run around, their nerves briefly alive, as the last flows of life pulsed through their bodies. I close my eyes and see chickens running through the yard, their bloody heads left behind. Other people drove the 45 miles to the chicken processing plant, where they worked and killed 12,000 chickens per day, their hands in perpetual motion, completing a ritual both delicate and forceful. For one false movement could get them maimed or killed. In The Jungle, Upton Sinclair's 1906 novel about the meatpacking industry, he wrote of meatpacking workers. They were willing to work all the time, and when people did their best, ought they not to be able to keep alive? Over a century later, the question remains relevant. In Oark, people canned vegetables from their gardens, hunted deer and ducks, and spent summers swimming in the mineral blue lakes and rivers that dot the landscape. Some neighbors had it worse than others. In the 1970s, Mexicans and Central Americans arrived in the Ozarks searching for agricultural jobs that didn't pay much, but allowed them to help their families back home. But only if the workers lived cheaply in Arkansas. When he first moved to Arkansas in the 1970s, Daniel Torres, an immigrant from Mexico, lived in an abandoned chicken house in the Ozark Mountains. By the time I was born in 1981, he had moved into a house built by my Uncle Larry. With a big beard and a gentle way about him, Daniel became a part of my childhood, introducing me to my first Spanish words and Mexican hot chocolate. Whenever I biked up the hilly dirt road and crossed the Little Mulberry River, I would pass the chicken house where he had lived and imagine him huddled up in a corner at the mercy.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?